yesterday someone asked me to kind of rehash like what the record, like, can you give us some words about the record?
Yeah.
It took me a second. You know, when people ask you to do that, it's always kind of like, it's a little hard.
Well, yeah, it's like doing like a self-portrait or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, it's always fucked up trying to describe something, because how are you not supposed to be self-conscious about it? Either you just...
Well, it is, exactly. And then you don't want to, like, my thing is, of course, you know, I was trying to, like, relay the message that sort of, it's not that we want to directly, you know, reflect all of our kind of experiences throughout the years working on the record, but we can't be influenced by those. And the last, couple of years have been kind of gnarly, you know. It's funny, when I made the list out of, like, sort of
what happened
in that time period, you know, it was like, man, it's kind of, like, pretty intense.
Heavy.
I mean, well, I'll tell you straight up. So in that time period, Crazy Jim, our guitar player, got spinal meningitis, almost died, went to jail twice. And when you go to jail in Detroit, you kind of disappear out of the system. Like, you're just
Why?
Lost
they
in
just,
there.
They just don't give a fuck. It's just over.
Once you're in there, you know, it could take, every time he went in there, and it was really, I mean, he's a scrapper. You know, he does hardwood flooring. He repurposes hardwood floor from abandoned school gyms, mostly, you know.
Really? So he, like, salvages it, and then...
Exactly. And then he goes and lays it down in people's studios. You know, he did a pizza parlor, some houses, whatever, you know.
Right.
It's actually really beautiful.
Yeah, like reclaimed shit.
Mm-hmm. And what's cool about his floor style is it's got all the gymnasium marks on it, so it's kind of like a weird, I don't know, impressionistic minimalist painting or something. Because
it's still got the three-point line and shit.
Exactly. And it's
That's
all,
awesome.
Like, you know, random, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Totally.
But anyways, so yeah, he went into jail a bunch of times, so that was fucked up. And whatever, you know, my brother passes. And then our good friend.
What happened to your brother?
Man, he was in poor health. He was a.
Yeah.
He's an artist, oil painter, you know, and kind of like a child prodigy, you know, like when he was young, he was doing portraits, like commissioned portraits when he was like 13, 14. It was like.
Wow.
Yeah, for like families and shit. So it was kind of. It was weird, like, and then at a certain point, he started to resent kind of this pressure to be this sort of person. And typical story, you know, with, like, child prodigy, child star kind of bullshit.
You don't have to tell me. My dad was a child actor in the 60s, dude.
And you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
They kind of burn out a little bit and rebel. And then he never kind of recovered from that rebellion, you know. I mean, he still painted, but it was really just for himself for 20 years after, you know.
Yeah.
His sort of celebration.
It seems like a real hard thing to, like, get over hitting a peak so early for people, you know. It's fucking hard, man.
And it's so strange, because, right, you want to celebrate these special, you know, these people with talent, you know, but. It's strange. Looking back on it, I mean, I don't think it could have gone any other way. That's the fucked up thing. Like, even if no one would have been kind of heroing or, you know, whatever, telling him how great he was. I think it still would have gone down that line in a weird way. Like,
I think a lot of things are like that, man, honestly.
You know?
Yeah.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah, that was tough.
It's a trajectory. That's fucked.
Well, I mean, you know, you went through it too with your dad, huh? Like, seeing...
Well, the thing is, like, by the time I was born and even sort of, like, a conscious being who, like, knew my dad as a grown-up, you know what I mean? He had already... I basically killed his career. You know, I mean, it was kind of over, But this is weird, man. He was on a bunch of TV shows in the 60s and, like, basically paid his family's rent here in Burbank.
Sure.
And then Vietnam came, and my grandpa and my grandma, they moved to Australia because the oldest child went to Vietnam and came back fucked up. My Uncle Bob came back fucked. So they just ripped the family up out of Burbank and moved to Australia, and that was the end of my dad's career. And then when he came back, he kind of worked, you know, he got himself into it, you know. So he was, like, wanting to get back into it. He did, like, some Planet of the Apes, shit like that, you know, kind of, like, smaller parts. And then right before I was born, he was cast to be in Apocalypse Now on the boat, the dude with the mustache.
That was supposed to be him. Holy shit.
And the choice was, my mom's pregnant, or go to the Philippines for, like, however fucking long they were over there, which was, like, forever, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, and he made the choice to stay with my mom, and that was kind of it. You know, he ended up, like, working on back lots, doing crap service, like, moving fucking trash cans and shit like that. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, and watching, you know, he's been an awesome father and all that, but, you know, watching what that does to someone and kind of just having to navigate that is fucked, man. It's fucked up.
I mean, your story, I mean, for sure, when you were talking PTSD, family responsibilities, you know.
Yeah.
That's super heavy.
It really is. I mean, even to this day, you know, it's hard for him to, like, talk about film sometimes, you know, even though he loves film. You know, but it's, like, hard because it's just one of those things where it's, like, you know, there's, like, another, you know, wormhole future that didn't occur, you know, that is always kind of, like, knocking at the back of his head. It's fucking nuts.
I think it's totally the family dynamic in that, in those sort of situations, you know, it's impossible to deal with. I mean, watching people go through stuff that you have no control over, but you feel responsible for in some way, man.
For sure.
Right up until, like, my brother, you know, he was, you know, in and out of health problems for a very long time. And, you know, he had a really bad accident and a fire, actually oil paints, smoking. He fell asleep with a lit cigarette and it fucking caught the oil paints on fire. Yeah, it was fucked. He actually, he is such a good guy. He ran out of the building, woke up, ran out of the building, then realized his dog was still inside. So he ran back in and the smoke hit him and he fell flat on his face and, like, burned 50% of his body, all of his back, like, straight up.
Oh, Jesus.
And that was...
Fucking,
yeah,
that'll take you down.
That was a big one for sure. It fucked him up real bad. He couldn't. He was, his mobility was bad, and then also, you know, he couldn't paint as well after that, and he continued to struggle with that. You know,
well, pain is probably just unbearable at that point.
At that point, sure.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. He actually kind of started to abandon that in a way. You know, for a while, he just gave up in a way and pursued, you know, I mean, we live in Michigan, so we're all carpenters. You know, I have a family business, my father, for like 10 years now, maybe longer than that, 20 almost. He's been building pole barns and garages, so that's always been my go-to as well. And he kind of, my brother, just went straight ahead into that and trying to recuperate. But it just kind of added to the depression, I think, you know. It was
because he's fucking cut off from what he
was
supposed to do.
And to the extent that he actually kind of avoided his health problems and wouldn't talk about them and refused, but just neglected himself severely. He ended up dying from emphysema, you know, just straight up.
Fuck.
I think it had a lot to do with the fire, you know, his lungs were in poor shape and whatnot. But
just
weakened. We're talking, weakened for sure. and all that. It's tough.
That is a fucked up year.
That was tough. Right. So, prior to that, we lost Scott Ashen, who was, a good family friend of ours. I grew up. Scott took me to see the Ramones when I was, 13, you know.
Wow.
Let's go meet Debbie Harry and the Ramones. He was and, that was just incredible.
Tight with those guys?
He was, he was tight enough that it wasn't an issue. Yeah, he went backstage and I watched them all hug and...
Oh, wow. That kind of shit just burns into your brain. How old were you?
I was 13 at the time.
Yeah, that's the exact right age for that kind
of thing. I wasn't even a Stooges fan. I was a Ramones fan. I liked the Stooges,
yeah.
But it was a little too sexual for me. I couldn't really understand it,
And probably close to home, too, because it's a family member. You know what I mean?
I was kind of I don't know if what I think of this, but this guy's cool. My dad and my mom, say he's the best, so, And then he takes me to see my favorite band of all time, at 13, of course. So, losing him and then losing my brother, those were, two major moments. Really fucked up. And during all this, we're touring nonstop. The routine. You can't...
Yeah.
You stop, of course, for a little bit, but then you have to get right back to work. You gotta...
Pretty much. If you want to be able to do it, you have to do it all the time. There's no kind of... You can't be selective as much.
Not as much. And it's funny, with Wolf Eyes, it's always been kind of... the exception to the rule has always sort of been us. We're able to exist, but at the same time, we just barely get by, but we're always just happy, to just get by.
Well, so yeah, because it's a privilege to be able to do what the fuck you want to do.
That is so exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
It.
People forget that, man. People forget that you're on stage and you're on. It's not a right. You don't have a right to be up there. It's a privilege, and you really should be putting your best foot forward and giving it all you have. Because man,
and honoring the fact that you get to do it one more time. That's always the thing, really.
True
it's
that.
And that people will do it with you. That is the one that blows my mind. That other people will cut out chunks of their life to come do this shit with you. No matter how long I've been doing this, it always fucking just blows my mind. That's really, you're going to just cut your life out, and go, okay.
That's really what it comes down to, too. Yeah, you have to sacrifice a big part of your life in order to do this. And You establish other types of relationships, but at the same time, you sacrifice a lot of personal relationships, like family, for instance. I've spent so much time on the road, of course I feel like I could have been there for my brother more, more supportive.
Well, any domestic sort of stuff.
Any domestic stuff.
Of having a child is just like a foreign, whether you want to or not. You know what I mean? It's just
of course.
Even if you're I don't think I really want that, but it's not really an option anyways,
No, my mom always said, they're along for the ride. You have a kid, they're along for the ride. We were raised crazy hippies, My parents... 69 that had my brother, firstborn, they are living in Michigan at the time, and they immediately take off to rural Missouri and buy a little piece of property. And, my sister's literally born in a tent while my dad is cutting down logs around the campsite to build a log cabin,
As natural birth as it gets.
That's right. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
And that's always been kind of in the back of my head, anti-establishment, I've been raised on,
Untraditional structure, but some kind of structure nonetheless.
family dynamic, but it's even weird, like, because of the 60s and the freak culture, you know, my parents had to sacrifice their beliefs for their personal families, you know, like,
yeah,
there were a lot of squares. My mother's side during that time period were very, very square, you know, and
yeah,
they couldn't deal with the kind of free love that was, you know, coming on so strong. So, you know, to this day, I don't really know my grandparents or my extended family. Like, it's kind of, we only exist in this, you know.
They're kind of alienated from them.
Still, yeah. I mean, it's been healed up a bit, but I haven't, you know, I'm 38 now, and I have not met my grandfather on my mother's side. And on my father's side, that's just it's a broken home kind of situation. Like,
does it matter to you at all, or...
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's starting to matter. I mean, I grew
yeah.
up kind of in, I don't know, in a way, because of my own family dynamic, and that was stressful enough just within, you know, my core family, you know, my immediate family. The extended
yeah.
family just seemed way more stressful. So I always, you know, obviously there was that kind of pretense that my parents had kind of laid out, like, we are just our family and your extended family doesn't agree with our lifestyle, you know.
Right. So that's just ingrained from, like,
ingrained from childhood. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to get to that point where, like, well, it is important to me to, like, you know my full family.
I think that happens, though, as you get older, whether you want to or not, just because understanding where you come from kind of, like,
oh, yeah.
illuminates who you are a little bit, you know, and that, you know, that's kind
sure.
of, like, the thing, you know, even people that
that's
you might not relate to, you know.
It's a scary thing, too, man. You start to realize, you know, you start to realize that, and some of the traits that you see or you hear about in other people, or, I'm sorry, your other relatives, you start to see in yourself in a way, you know, so that's always been
totally
a little freaky for me. That hasn't been it's never been in my face. It hasn't been a natural sort of, you know, going to grandma's house isn't something I ever
did. Yeah, you don't have, like, a reference to be like, oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I do that because fucking Grandpa
right.
Ted fucking likes to carve naked ladies with wood or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Or, like, you know. Even, like, you know, health problems. Like, oh, they're prone
totally.
To infections, too. Oh, okay. You know, like,
totally.
Watch out for that. But, yeah, it's been a weird... That losing someone so close to you in your family has illuminated, exactly like you're saying, like, the importance of this, you know.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah.
how little time we really have. I mean, it's been kind of, like I said,
there's no
kinda
time.
Heavy.
There's no time.
There is no time.
I mean, it's 2015 was, I don't know what to say, man. There's my bass player, who also is just, like, my oldest friend in the world, you know, he basically, we started being friends during the sleepover era, you know what I mean? Like,
no
rec
shit.
Room era.
Wow.
Yeah, like, making paper. We met doing a paper mache project. In third
Isn't
grade,
cool.
you
Fuck
know,
me. Third grade.
Yeah, that's going all the way back, you know.
Dude,
so, like,
that's next year, parents. That's the longest relationship you've had in your life, right?
It really is, man. I, you know, we made the new record, and I would say, I don't know, almost 2 months before, I don't know, 2 months after it's finished, I got a call from him at, like, midnight. Which is weird because he just, like, won't even call me unless I call him. It's like, you know, brother shit. Or it's just,
no,
like, I'll see you, you know, whenever. And, you know, I got a call that he's in the hospital and that his legs just stopped working. And he lost the use of his legs, like, that overnight, done. And that they found a mass on his spine.
Right.
You know, and... It went from normal life to you know, Alvin has cancer on his spine and can't walk anymore, you know, like that, you know, I mean, and it already just further kind of, you know, highlighted how fucking, how delicate everything is, and that, like, there is nothing given here at this point, you know, at this, like, once you get a certain age, it's just like, okay, you should pretty much be ready for whatever, because everyone around you, like, you better appreciate that shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. I mean, he went to work the day before, you know? Like, went to work, woke up to go to work, and had to get his roommate to put him on a fucking office chair to wheel him to the goddamn hospital because his leg didn't work anymore.
All of a sudden,
you know, and when stuff like that happens, it's, you know, it's hard to even, like, sort of quantify, like, okay, what the fuck is happening, you know, like, what is happening around me?
Of course, I mean, in the business we're in, too, like, it's so tough, you know.
No health care, no fucking, you know.
All that.
Yeah.
And then it's, what do you, you know, then people are going to want to know what's going on. I'm sure everyone wants to try to be respectful, but at the same time, it's like, it's intrusive because you're just trying to get your own thoughts together, how you feel about what's going on. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you are out of sorts, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's no way to know.
There's no fucking way.
It's pretty much impossible, you know. It's
amazing.
I mean, having mortality thrown in your face, that is, it's about as heavy as it gets, you know, in your life, you know, because that's the only, you know, that's the final stop, man. So, like, having to be able to sort of chew on that, I don't know, it just doesn't go anywhere in my brain, personally. I never come to any sort of conclusion. I don't have any peace with that shit.
No, man. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. And I feel like this whole year has been kind of like that. The past 3 years have been kind of like that, like watching good friends get sick, get in trouble, watching, you know, people pass. We did a lot of shows this year that we wouldn't normally do. We went to Israel, and it's not something to take lightly, you know. And it was
no, that's was not like a normal stop on the route at all.
No, it was something. I mean, there was something in us. I mean, we were dealing with a lot of adversity in our own, like, you know, personal lives. You know, and then having this opportunity to go to some place that is so, so conflicted and fucked up, you know, just straight up, just really fucked up and not
the epicenter of it all, really.
It
draws back forever.
Oh, man. We went to fucking, I can't remember the name of the temple, but, you know, where Jesus's last resting place was, right? We went there and you know, and the Wailing Wall, and yada yada.
Did you feel anything over there?
You can't help but to feel something. There is like a some sort of magnetic, like, energy, something there that has always been there. I mean, maybe
it's got to be. I've never been there, man. I've always wanted to go, but there's got to be something there. You know,
something.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's just, you know, it's everyone in the world is focusing on this place.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and they have been focused on this place. I mean, that bottleneck, you know, it's the entrance to Europe. It's fucked up, you know. It's
totally.
And, you know, we're there, and we're there for 3 days, which isn't a lot of time. But in those 3 days, we meet pretty much the entire experimental music underground. I mean,
I'm sure.
It was insane, you know, nonstop. And, you know,
how was
you look at the show was incredible. You know, all
really?
That we did,
that's awesome.
Three shows, and they were just incredible. And the one show we did was in this very small, like, underground venue, like, so tiny, the power was all sucked up, and I kept getting literally, like, electrocuted every time I would touch my mic to my lip, you know, like, really.
Yeah.
To the point where it would shut off the power in the whole place, you know.
Holy
make
shit.
Me, yeah, and I would scream.
Like, you're connecting
murder.
The ground or something.
Something was just, oh, my God, it was insane. But, you know, We met atheists, we met radicals, you know, we met every single element of what's going on there, except for the Palestinian side.
Right.
And we could because we were playing, you know, the Israeli side, we could not play the other
You're
side.
You're hosted by
yeah, we
the
were
guest
hosted.
Opposite.
And we had actually spoke to some people on the West Bank who were do noise shows, you know, and they really
holy
wanted
shit.
It. They were like, yeah, we really want you, but you can't do one. You have one or the other, you know.
I mean, can you even get through? Is there any, I mean, can you get through?
They said we could go, but it would end up being a problem. You know?
Right.
The whole thing, and we were like, well, this whole thing is a problem. Like, there's no win,
Yeah, it's not up to you to, like, try to solve some shit that's unsolvable.
It's completely unsolvable. I mean, we shouldn't even be there in the first place. But it somehow seemed important to, like, talk to these colleagues, you know, these people who feel the same way as we do, but they're living in this, like, conflict, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, to say this, too, I mean, so we did all that. And it was insane. And then, so we've been approached a couple weeks prior to us leaving by this dance troupe that was for, as far as we could tell, a modern dance company that was geared towards 15 to, like, you know, 20-year-olds, you know, like,
yeah.
Even younger, I think. And we were like, okay, that sounds really interesting, and they're actually going to perform a piece to a song we recorded back in, like, you know, 2003 or something, which we had
wow.
no idea someone had actually written a modern dance composition, you know, with this, and they're like,
so this is
no
just
idea.
Out of the blue. They're like, we've choreographed this, like,
out of the blue.
Shit, that's nuts.
And I never heard of it, and we're like, okay, let's go check it out, and I run it by, because I'm suspicious. I'm checking everything with my contacts there, which are all, you know, pretty much, you know, radical artists, you know, atheist
right.
radical artists, you know, just, so I'm like, hey, does this look legit? And they're like, wow, like, yeah, I would like to go to this. So we all go, we get there, and it's immediately brought to our attention. It's kind of obvious that this is a military cadet school that, with an extracurricular activity for modern
Whoa.
Day. And
wow.
we had no idea. So we're sitting there watching, you know, these military cadets, you know, which is, you know, it was totally ignorant of me not to realize, but also ignorant of my host, too, as well, not to realize
well,
that, of course,
everyone's like a cadet
there,
too, right?
Exactly.
You know, everyone
at that
is.
Age, at that age, they have to. It's mandatory.
Right.
And we're all like, oh, of course.
Right? Yeah, because over here, it's just a completely different
completely
society.
Different, yeah. So we're watching these cadets dance to our music, and then suddenly they all turn around and we're doing a Q&A, you know, with future soldiers.
Whoa.
And it took me back. I felt nauseous and sad and all these emotions, you know.
Yeah, that'll humble you, like, on spot.
And I mean, we were out late the night before, you know, like,
yeah.
hanging out all night, and to go into this thinking it's going to be a walk in the park, like, fun hanging out with some teenage kids, you know, who are into dance and abstract music.
Yeah,
but
probably
also,
even kind of, like, laughing a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, this
yeah,
is going to be ridiculous
be,
or whatever.
This is,
you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Being like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Let's go check this out. And then all of a sudden we realize how intense, I mean, I'm sure I can think of a better word, but
no, that I
it was just face to face with the problem, you know, or with the future that could help the problem, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The conflict is put in our face, like, so hard, you know.
That's fucking insane, man. That's insane.
It was really, really far out. And I don't even know what I wanted to say. You know, it was impossible.
Yeah.
They really put me on the spot. And I couldn't help but to feel that was totally, you know, kind of manipulative, you know. I couldn't help but be like, what the fuck? You know, how is this not a part of some intelligence, you know?
Yeah, how did that even happen? That's the thing is, like, did they whip that together as they knew you were coming? Or, like,
What are the odds? We're not a huge band, you know. We're very, you know, underground, small in the grander scheme of things.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, you guys are a punk band, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
like,
totally.
You know?
And it was,
why would that be
on
their radar?
Why would that be important? Why would it be on their radar? Why? I mean, was that just a coincidence? It just didn't seem like a coincidence.
That's too insane, dude. It kind of makes sense. Only in the sense that maybe the music could mirror some sort of, you know, state that they live in over there, you know. That's the one thing that makes sense, I guess, out of it, you know.
Even then, I mean.
But that's a long shot, man.
It is a long shot, because there's a lot of bands nowadays that it can mirror that, you know. I mean, we're not.
Yeah.
We're a part of a larger community of people interested in this type of thing, whereas, you know, in the 2000s, maybe it was smaller, you know, or growing.
For sure.
Where now it's established now, you know.
Yeah, it was like 25 people smoking a joint in a basement.
Yeah,
or something.
Totally. And now the Israeli government is sponsoring fucking dance performances.
That's so fucking insane, man. I mean, I don't know how you're not supposed to be paranoid about something like that.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, because it's a hard thing to tell to people without sounding paranoid and sort of insane, you know, like, well, and then also, like, what are you guys doing there in the first place? And it's, you know, and of course, I'm always like, exactly, why am I here? Like, that dialogue seemed important to open up, but I've been talking... I try to talk to anyone I can kind of about, you know, that experience and what the positive outcome, or, you know, if there's anything. And 9 times out of 10, again, I'll say that, 9 times out of 10, people, activists, are like, you shouldn't have been there. It's true.
Really?
Like, don't ever go back. Oh, yeah, 100%. They're like, don't ever go back. Just stay out of there.
Yeah.
They need to learn that there is no middle ground, that this is fucked up and it has to stop.
Right.
You going there and talking to these kids isn't helping, but I was like, man, it really seemed like it helped me understand what was going on.
That's
more.
The thing. Yeah, if you understand, that's really what it's all about, because you can bring that back. You know what I mean?
I thought so too.
We only get what we're fed, you know, so... You know, personal experience is the only thing that is going to have any sort of truity.
100%, man. 100%. I mean, it's something I've been trying to talk to you about. I just continue meeting brick walls, and people in this country and everywhere don't really want to even engage in that conversation.
That's wild.
I mean, I went to a party the other night, and I had a bit too much to drink, and this woman approached me, who is, you know, obviously Jewish and really curious about my visit to, you know, the Holy Land, you know, the old city.
Yeah.
And I told her the whole story, and then I followed up with being like, I do feel like that cadet situation was manipulated. I feel like, you know, I can't help but be paranoid about that. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And, you know, I straight up told her to fuck off. I was just like, you know, fuck you.
What did she think? What would she think it is? What would she attribute it to? What was her take?
She just looked at me like I was insane, you know.
Wow.
That my paranoia was just paranoia, you know, straight up, and she did not.
You know what they say, you know, paranoia is like an acute reality, so.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. And that's the thing, it is, there's no way to tell, you know, there's no way, even if we were to talk to the people who brought us there, there's no way to really tell, you know.
Nah,
I mean,
not at all. I mean, word has to get out to the government, because no one's going over there without the government, without you at least sort of at some low level, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just at the very basic level of getting through the fucking customs, right?
Exactly. They know.
And as
they know.
An artist, that it's got to be at least double your average person who's going over there to fucking, you know, kneel
Couture.
Down in front
yeah.
of a statue, you know?
Man, I gotta say though, the one thing that really hit me hard, and I really thought was beautiful, is but also really fucked up, but like just beautiful in its severity, I suppose. Like every crusader that went to the old city carved a cross in the wall. So there's like, you know, hundreds of thousands of these little crosses. And they go back so far to be just. Insane. It's the one thing, you know, I mean, there is something there for sure.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, there's a magnetic pull, you know, there is.
It's, and seeing that, like physically touching it too and being like, man, what the fuck? Like,
that's crazy.
I've never had an experience like that.
Well, we don't have anything like that over here, you know, not really, you know, we don't really have anything like that. We have like U.S. Bank and McDonald's and shit, you know. It's
totally.
It's a different fucking thing. We just don't even have it. So people trying to understand it over here, especially people who don't travel, which is almost everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like my family doesn't fucking travel. They don't have money to go travel and stuff. You know, it's hard to understand. All they can understand is like through the media. I mean, that's like really the only way.
For sure.
Which is
not, it is, and it usually is. It usually is totally not accurate and somehow manipulated, of course, you know. But so that was really far out. I mean, that really piqued our interest. I mean, we're not a political band, we never have been, but our music kind of spews out some sort of message, you know, some sort of unconscious like message.
I think you guys are a political band, you know, I mean, in a sense, because, like, at this point, doing anything that's contrary and true is, like, a political act to me anyways, you know, like, that's kind of how I feel about it. You don't have to have an agenda or, you know, some sort of fucking manifesto or anything, you know, it's not like you have to be crass, but, you know, at this point, fuck, man. Anything that kind of rails is a political act, sort of, to me anyways, you know?
True.
So.
We definitely did ruffle some feathers. I mean, people were pissed. But that's all right. Let me just finish it up. One more.
Yeah.
Situation, another show that we did that was totally unlike. So we played the largest satanic gathering, largest public satanic event in history, which was the unveiling of the Baphomet statue in Detroit.
Oh, shit. Okay, I didn't know you guys did something for that.
That was a thing. We asked to do it, and we had been talking with the Satanic Temple here in Detroit. You know, a couple of our good friends are actually, you know, working with them. And they had asked us to do a seance on Halloween one year. We said no. We're like, no, that's cool. Like,
yeah, kind of weird.
We play too many Halloween gigs as it is, you know, just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, we get pigeonholed for that fucking
year. Yeah, we don't need to do the haunted house this year.
No. Not so much. That's actually, you know, something, you know, seance is a little cheesy in my book. I'm like, yeah,
totally.
It's fine, you know.
Totally.
But then when they came for us, like, presented us with, like, oh, we're doing this, you know, unveiling, and it's, you know, this is really important. then I started really looking into what they were doing, you know, with abortion rights, with just, you know, separation of church and state, yada, yada, and all these, like, really, you know, kind of funny, interesting pranks they would do. And I was like, yeah, you know, you guys are doing some really, you're doing shit.
They're going for it.
They're really going for it. And even if it's just a stress test, you know, on you know, the judicial system and, you know, how
totally.
It applies to fucking, you know, religion. But
totally.
That's something, and it's amazing. So we said, yes, we will do this. And we didn't realize how kind of, you know, big and important it would be to so many other people. So we end up getting, for the first time, really, like legitimate inquiries from the Christian militant groups.
Look
to find our next show and whatnot, like trying to figure out where this is going down and yada.
Really? Like they want to be there.
They want to be there. They want to be there. And again, you know, we're
Marilyn Manson status.
Exactly. We're not a political band, though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're not making any specific statements here or there. But it kind of, I mean, it's coming around where it's like we and that.
But you are. That's the fucked up thing.
We had to. I mean, we are and we have to in a certain way. Like, human rights are important, you know? Like, come on, civil rights. Like, this is ridiculous.
It is important. And just, I don't know, sonics are like warfare at this point, you know? The way that popular, you know, sound and music is kind of portrayed and the way the business of it is run anymore, sonics are just as, can be almost more damaging than anything, you know, like,
well, of course,
you know, rejecting the status quo is like, that's, people are not fucking cool with it, you know?
No, by large. I mean, we can learn from, what, Lenin's assassination, you know, that obviously that there is a lot of political pull in music, you know, in popular music. I mean, it's insane. And coming to terms with that as like just a couple of Michigan boys trying to get by, you know, like day to day, you know, we're broke as hell and we're, you know, we're dealing with these things
survival.
That are beyond and where those politics actually become part of our survival, you know, and maybe part of our demise too, you know, maybe, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that don't agree.
But that's the way it is. I think that's the way it is now. I think it really, I mean, as maybe, I don't know. I have like a very black and white personality, but to me, there kind of has been this, like, I don't know, it might sound corny, but like a good versus evil thing over the last 10 years where there's,
I mean,
you know,
sure.
I don't know. That might be a little too insane, but you know, to me, it seems like either you're doing something or you're not, you know, and that's kind of it.
It's wild, man. I mean, I still don't know. I mean, obviously, I know how I feel about, you know, just self-evident things, but making these broader statements is difficult, you know, to really look at what's going on. That's never been part of my my career and part of my music, but people have put us in those situations and we have agreed to be there, so we put ourselves in those situations, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah.
The first time in my life, this is the first time in my life where I feel like I've actually been playing music, that I've been putting myself in a situation we've been putting ourselves in danger with our music, and I've never really felt that. I mean, the bartender may get mad.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly.
But that's it. You know, this is the first time that we're actually looking at like
how's it feel?
Way bigger. It's scary, man. Straight up.
Yeah.
Like it's just straight up scary.
Yeah.
And I feel proud, but at the same time, you know, day to day, like. You know, Olsen, he's got a family, and we definitely, you know, we don't want to put him and his family in harm's way, you know, we don't want, you know, Christian militia to find out where he lives. We You know, we don't want that. And
it's
the
not,
fact
it's
that these
not
people,
really worth it for someone like that.
No, we're not, you know, but at the same time, it's we're at this kind of crossroads with our personal lives and, you know, this sort of entertainment. I don't even know. Like, a lot of things have added up to where we're at now, and it's bizarre.
What do you think that means for, like,
I have no
tomorrow?
I really couldn't tell you, man. I mean, the funny thing is these things disappear very quickly. I mean, we know that media lasts, has a shelf life, you know, of maybe a couple days. Yeah, you know. So these, like, kind of brutally important moments to us become kind of just lost in the internet void.
Yeah, like immediately marginalized by the cigarette-smoking baby.
And I don't want to bring them up as, like, a point to why, you know, this is why we made this music or whatever. You know, I don't want it to, but it can't help, you know, but be influenced and kind of like, this is the real circumstances of how this, all this was, this came together, how this, this, I mean, and it sounds so trite, this record, you know, it's just a record, you know, it's not, but our lives, like, this is where we're at, that,
exactly.
We're all led to, you know. It's just so odd to be like, put it on a record or,
it,
you know,
it
that
is
has
fucked
nothing
up,
to do with it.
You don't know half the time, I know I don't, like, what that is until it's out there anyways. You know, that's the thing. That's the danger of it all, you know, is you make these things and then all of a sudden, you know, it's appropriated by destiny, you know, or something, you know. It's
yeah,
just like, boom.
For sure.
You know, that's fucking crazy.
I've been talking
about
these like cycles that we're going through, you know, these relationships, these micro relationships. I mean, I can go back. I mean, the reason we were in Israel was because we met this, this what, she was like 16, no, she was 15 at the time. This Israeli woman, she was, I guess, a girl at that time. I showed up at an ATP we were playing and got a room right next to us and was like, you know, I'm your biggest fan. That's the only reason I'm here is to come see you guys. And
wow.
It just blew our mind. We're like, you're from Israel. And they were from Jerusalem, rather, even, you know. We were just totally taken back by that.
Was it the Camber Sands one?
One of the Camber Sands one, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was the TG one, actually.
Okay,
the
cool.
Nightmare Before Christmas, maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, all these little, like, mini relationships, like, it's strange.
Yeah, that sort of, like, culminates.
And these cycles, like, that intensity of meeting that person there really cycled through into us actually going to, like, experience. Because at that time, we knew very little about what was going on, you know? Of course,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Until you actually meet someone from the source, like, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, as an American, it's difficult to, like, really stay on top of things. We're so fucking, we're just,
I mean, you actually have to actively dig if you want to,
exactly.
If you want to know, you know, it has to be like a straight up hobby or something to be even remotely on top of it in any sort of, like, meaningful way, you know?
For sure. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's fucked up. Like, we had no intentions of being in this situation, really, when we started. But we had no intentions of creating any situation. So we were just open to all scenarios, you know,
all
every option. And here we are. And all these cycles have, like, made sense. Like, this person, that person, like, they, you know, it's... And they're micro relationships. They're not, you know, like a couple days together, maybe, you know.
Exactly.
Not like,
yeah. There's,
but that's what we get as touring musicians, like, right? That's what we get is a couple days, a couple hours to really make it count with these
people. To relate.
Or, to make that connection. You know?
Totally. And maybe one out of fucking 50 you know, ends up being a friend for life or something like that, just depending on, you know, the circumstance.
And I've always said that we have we don't have fans, we have colleagues. You know, there's not really a podium or, you know, a pedestal rather that anyone is placed on in this sort of noisy, you know, experimental zone, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's fucked up. That's just it's so true. You know, we constantly meet new people and we relate to them immediately. Like there's stuff.
It's
and
a thread. It's a thread.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow,
are you what's going on now? What are you up to now?
Well, you know, we signed with Third Man, and now we're kind of dealing with
a lot of
like,
weird fucking pairing.
Well, there it is, right? Yeah, that's it.
Whoa.
So,
whoa, man.
So, you know, Jack is like an old Michigan guy. We all know he's from Detroit.
Right.
And, you know, Olf and I, you know, we pulled a prank on him back in the day, and, you know, we kind of were on each other's peripheral, but it was never, like, really super close.
Right.
And it's not Jack, it's Ben, his, like, nephew, you know, who's really, you know, kind of ushering us into this whole thing.
Spearheading.
And they were spearheading, yeah. And they were so excited about doing a record with us, you know.
I think that's great. I mean,
It's interesting. It's definitely, there's a lot of, like, speculation and, like, it's strange. I've never really been put in this situation before. I mean, Sub Pop, I don't need to say that. It reminds me a lot of, like, signing to Sub Pop, like, this sort of underground noise band signing with some other thing. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, we're not really underground anymore. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. There's some sort of visibility about it that...
It's visibility.
It's more of an underground sentiment more than actually being underground now.
I always, like, toy with, like, well, I humor myself sometimes when I'm like, oh, yeah, so we do the largest satanic event in history, and then, of course, we sign with Jack White. That just makes sense. But,
yeah, it does. That's some MK Ultra shit right there.
But it's, you know, it's not really the case, you know. It's not how it really fit together, but it's strange, you know. There's all sorts of stuff. But we're not giving them an easy record, you know. We're giving them exactly what I just described to you. Like, this has been a really tough year. This record is not intentionally sad. It's not intentionally anything. It's just, it kind of expresses, or rather reflects...
What happened.
Indirectly, what happened, exactly. It's a document. It's not...
Exactly.
We're not trying to push this kind of, like, feeling or our politics or anything on anyone, but, man, everything is self-evident. I don't see why people are fucking so stubborn and just stupid. Why? Why do they want to, like, you know, be so cruel? It's bizarre.
Have people tripped out about, do people know you guys are doing the record with Third Man?
People really tripped out about it.
Really?
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, we got the deal. One night I was drinking with Timmy Vulgar, you know, from Timmy's Organism, and they had already signed with Third Man, and they had a record coming out with Timmy's Organism, and I was like, tell me about your deal, man. It sounds cool. And at the end of like a sentence, I was like, yeah, hook me up. I was like, give me a piece of that, you know, just drunk and sloppy, like, you know.
Of course.
Of course. And he's like, I'm gonna deal, bro. Totally. He's like, I'm going to do that. And he did it right on the spot. And then Ben emailed me the next day and was like, yeah, it's totally done. I mean, we were working with Sacred Bones trying to nail a deal, but they didn't seem super excited. I mean, straight up, it was like taking a very long
time.
And then Ben came up and he was like, oh, no. He's like, I want to do this. This is like something I want to make Third Man a legitimate record label, not, I mean, he didn't say that, you know, I'm not going to quote him or anything. But
yeah.
Implying that, yeah, I want to make it, you know, more than what it is, you know,
but
not just.
Isn't that really just what matters, is someone being excited? I don't give a fuck really where you are.
It's true.
You know?
It's true. That's exactly what it is.
It doesn't matter where you are. You know, no one, at this point, everything is so compartmentalized anyways that if the art is in check, what fucking difference does it make? There's no perfect umbrella anymore.
And that's the strange thing, because I truly believe that too, that a record label should be transparent, that they should just facilitate the art. And it was odd. And I think even the PR company had tried to encourage people not to use Jack White signs Wolf Eyes as like the pop out quote or whatever tag.
Yeah.
But they refused. You know, every outlet was just like, whatever, you know, this is going to sell way more. You know, and it was just like, you
of
know,
course. That's the field day.
That's the point. That is the field day. It was a shame because it's not the point. You know, it's. Although Jack did finally email me, not finally, but he did email me personally. Congratulations. I was a little surprised. I was like, that's great. And my reply was like, I was hoping you would contact me. Thank you. You know, I'm not, you know, like, what the fuck?
No, that's good. And that, I mean, you would think that would be sort of common practice, but it isn't. You know what I mean? I don't know how it was with you at Sub Pop, but, you know. I've had record deals where it's like, okay, I've met most of these people, but I don't really know these people, you know?
No, 100%. I mean, that's how we left Sub Pop, really. I mean, Andy Katowich, you know, RIP, but
yeah,
when he passed, our contacts there disappeared in a way.
And that's it.
And that was natural, I think. You know, there was people there that were supporting what we were doing and really trying to push it, and you know, when he passed, his legacy of that excitement kind of passed as well.
You have to have a champion, or else you might as well just be on your own if you don't have somebody there.
And honestly, that's what we were. If we were waiting and recording for so long, and trying to get a sequence of songs that we felt comfortable with. That we were really ready to do it ourselves, because I think people weren't really hearing our vision. We weren't understanding like this whole story. Like, it was kind of like not the easiest of times, but it was also,
yeah,
you know, as a musician, you shrug those things off and you go to your next show, and that is your focus. It's performing that night, and it's day to day, you know.
Yeah, it is. And then there's the alchemy of kind of, you know, distilling the last few years down into something that there's no way to, you know, deny that to yourself. You know, it's just like fucking impossible. And anyone that
for
doesn't
sure
get that has to fuck off, you know?
That's how I feel too. I mean, I think that's the funny thing. I mean, the record we are presenting is completely, I mean, because of the circumstances or just, you know,
yeah,
it's completely different. It's way different than what we've ever done before. It's beautiful, you know.
And it should be.
These kind of scary, tense moments that we went through, but also like these kind of beautiful sort of, I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult, man. It's been a tough year, a couple
yeah
of years, I say that.
I understand.
You know what I mean. I mean,
I
and it's never easy. Like being a, you know what I mean? Like being an, and it's hard to even say it, being an entertainer, you know, and that's
yeah
what we are. It's so difficult,
exactly,
you know, like we like to be like, no, we're artists and whatever we do goes, you know, but we are in a very, very fortunate situation where people want to hear what we are doing, you know, what we want to express, you know. And
totally. And they're willing to, like, actually give money to come experience that shit, which
exactly
is, like, blows your mind, you know.
It totally blows my mind. I mean, to this, yeah. I mean, we've been making racket for so long.
How long have you guys been doing it?
We're like 20 years, I think, this
wow
year.
So like 99 or something like that? Somewhere, 98?
Yeah, 98 was when I started solo. But yeah, exactly. It's like 99 really when Olsen joined, and yeah, I've been with Olsen since then, and he is one of my longest adult relationships. The same with your bass player. I relate to that, man. And we don't talk to each other like family so much. It's more like, well, like you said, it's more like brothers. Like we
don't around the
answer
corner.
Each other's. Exactly. Like it's not, you know, it's your birthday, you know, I'll send you a text. Like, hey man, happy birthday. It's not, we've slept together more than
exactly.
our girlfriends or wives, you know?
Exactly. It's like, dude, if you're going to snore like that loud, I might have to snuff you tonight. You know what I mean?
Totally. And those relationships, man, it's beautiful to, you know, I didn't realize that you guys, you know, your bass player and you had been together for so long. I mean, that's, I totally relate to that. It's a really intense thing.
He's like my right hand or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're actually getting ready to go out and play for the first time that really in my memory that I've ever done it without him, which is, it is not, you know,
yeah.
There's nothing right about it. You know what I mean? I mean, we've done stuff apart where he's like, he had to stay at work or whatever, you know, shit like that. But this is different because he just can't, you know?
Yeah.
He's got a fight right now. And I don't know. It, you know, getting old is a motherfucker. That's all I know.
It is. Well, man, we're still... I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I think our shelf life as entertainers, we should have been snuffed, you know, traditionally. But
right?
We're still here. We're still fucking here.
That is the crazy thing because, I can relate to it because you always think that, okay, well, maybe someone will come and make whatever we're doing completely irrelevant, you know?
Right.
And that'll be that, you know, or whatever, you know, some sort
true.
Of version of that. But it's a weird time right now where, like, it doesn't matter how old you are or what era you're from or whatever. If you're doing something that needs to be done, you're supposed to do it. And that's it.
It's totally true.
It's
and that's
funny.
How I feel.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I don't know. There's some kind of, like, responsibility in myself to be like, well, fuck. You know, even, you know, I'm not going to buy a fucking car off of this thing or probably just lose a car off of it, really.
Sure.
But, you know, at some point, what else are you going to do, you know?
It's always been crazy for me. Yeah, it's always been crazy for me. You know, I've been in the business a long time, so I understand how things work, but... I don't know, I more understand how they work for us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to, man, you know, make a real living off of this is nearly impossible. Impossible.
It's like, totally impossible. And every day it gets closer to impossible. It's not like it gets easier. You have to basically, like, wiggle like a rat through the hole. That gets a little bit smaller every day. You know what I mean? It's just like you're like
totally.
Wiggling through the next rat hole, and you're like, "Fuck, I'm gonna have to
watch
you laugh." You know?
Oh yeah, no, for sure. No, I've been dealing with you know, and I go the grant routes too. I got a grant for a music fest, and man, that is just biting me in the ass. I'm just looking at it and being like, I know how to play these things. You
yeah,
know, I know how. Like them to go, but how do you actually get that to work? You know, it's bizarre.
All-consuming work, that's basically how, like...
Basically it, and you really, again, you have to go back to, well, it's the cause is more important than your livelihood, like, you
totally.
Need to just, you, constantly, you have to put yourself aside, and, you know, your well-being is not that important.
That's basically what I was speaking on. That's it, you know, that boils it down. It's like either you feel that way or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's like either you are part of it or you're not. And that's essentially whatever it is, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what kind of art or music or whatever the fuck film you're doing. But if you can't kind of relate to that sentiment that, it, you know, it's kind of bigger than yourself,
yeah.
then it's, you know, what are you doing?
Funny. It's humbling, but at the same time, it's almost egotistical, too, you know, being like,
sure,
what I'm doing is important beyond myself, you know.
Totally.
It's really intense.
It is egotistical, but there's no other way to get through it. You know what I mean?
There really isn't.
Ego, you will not make it through that process. You just won't, you know?
No, you'll crumble at your first European gig after you're jet lagged.
Totally. And poor people showed up or whatever.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
You're like, holy shit. I was thinking about this for fucking 6 weeks.
Yeah.
This is
God, right?
You know?
And that's the thing. Totally. I mean, waiting for people to write about something that they don't know anything about.
Totally.
Really. And you're supposed to be providing them with these sort of cues, and the whole thing seems totally absurd and kind of trite. You're just like,
oh, yeah.
Why?
It's perverse as fuck.
It's
put
totally
yourself
fucked up.
Out like that, it's fucking perverted, man. It's fucked.
It really is. But I think people really want to hear, I think they, you know, they really want and need to hear what goes into, you know, our careers, like our day to day. You know, understand that the ideal of a rock star or a successful musician is really, really nominal. Like it's not.
Yeah, it's like an antiquated sort of thing at this point.
At this point, it's not what it used to be, and it never will be that.
No.
But people still have this idea of what it is. And, I mean, nine times out of ten, again, we're treated like crooks, you know, like scams, you know. Like
yeah,
common.
Hustlers.
You know. Yep.
You're a hustler. You're not a
I
job.
I say that. I say that a lot, though. When people are, what do you do for a living? Oh, I just hustle, you know.
Totally.
Play music, you know, do some odd jobs when I can get them. Like, whatever, you know.
Because it feels like a hustle. If you come from any sort of working class background, you know what I mean? And you saw your parents
definitely
fucking go for it, you know, just so that you could be able to do what you do now. It does feel like a hustle, even if it ain't. Because even if you're working 24 hours a day on it, it's hard for it to not feel like a hustle. I know a lot of people that I've played with in my life, I've never really had like a rich kid in my band or anything like that, you know?
Sure.
So I've seen a lot of people that I come up with, you know, we all kind of came up the same. We all grew up in East LA or around there. And it really fucks with them, you know, that feeling that this
definitely
is a hustle. You know, I've seen people straight up just like shut it off like cold water. Like, this is bullshit what I'm doing, you know. And there's you know, and it could be going well. It could be going well, but they just, it's ingrained in you if you come from any sort of working class background that, you know, until you really fucking sell your life out, you're just kind of scamming everybody else.
And it's all, yeah, it's totally leverage, you know, like, okay, I got a platform for you to show your product on, you know, and it's, oh
yeah.
God, it's so. You know, and I don't feel that way, but I know that's how the industry works, you know?
Right.
What
totally
the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, turn a blind eye to all that?
Yeah.
But that's just not, you know, I mean, fuck, we're all going to, if we all turn a blind eye to how everything works, you know, industry-wise, we're going to be poor and miserable. Wait, we already are. Wait, I don't know. I don't know.
Totally. Fuck,
it's a no-win situation, man. It's tough. I don't envy anyone getting into this thinking that it's going to be peaches and cream, because it's not. There's nothing peaches and cream about this, man. I mean,
getting into it today, it seems like such a fucked up scenario. If you were like, you know, starting today, Jesus, you know, because that's like the interview question, isn't it, that everyone asks, like, what would you tell somebody, you know, today?
I know.
Or whatever. And it's like, dude, nothing, you know, nothing. There's nothing I could tell you. Like, either you
have
to do it or don't.
Walk humbly. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really, that's just as like trite and cheesy as anything else. But that's the one thing that at least you're going to have your conscience, you know, that at least you're going to feel okay about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But even, even then, man, I mean, like the satanic thing, like realizing how many closet Christians that are close friends of mine, like that
right.
was brutal. And they're not even really, but they're just a little superstitious. And
they're just raised. They're just
I need
raised.
To respect it. Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's tradition and heritage more than fucking anything.
That's so hard to keep yourself in check and, like, realize that everyone has a point. And, you know, we need to respect all these points. And it's just like, man, I'm just trying to, like, let myself hang out, you know, like letting it all hang out. Like people, I assume that's what people want, but when
yeah.
you really start to lay it out, like you, the more you lay it out, the more you realize you need to kind of be conscious of what you're saying and who you're talking to and whatnot. Not that I am really
human.
That way.
Yeah.
I want
yeah.
to respect that. But
yeah.
I will tell someone to fuck off. Like just, it sucks, you know, like I definitely, haven't lost that sort of like youthful, like, you know, rebellion and like, you don't agree with me, I'm done with you. And that's just not how things get done.
That's just
really.
Not how life works in the grand scheme of things. You know, it doesn't, there's no
that's
real progression that way, you know?
That's what I'm realizing for sure.
You could speak to the converted forever, you know, and that's, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Holy shit, man. Well, I'll fucking let you go. I don't want to burn up your day.
No, you're good, man. Thanks for talking to me. I had some shit I wanted to talk about for sure. I'm glad you were open to just letting it on the line. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't, you know, dude, I don't give a fuck. You know, I just kind of wanted to. I've always heard records by you on and off throughout my own life and thought this was a good opportunity to kind of include you to just, you know, do whatever. It doesn't, you know?
I think it's cool. I mean, it's definitely, this conversation is definitely, it was nice. Thank you.
I didn't ask about the dick box, but, you know, I'm sure somebody else was already in an interview and,
yeah, the fuck boxes. Yeah, those are good.
We can save that for next time.
Sure, man. All right, well, I'll let you go too, man. I'm sorry I'm burning you too.
But
at me if you got any follow-ups or you want to, like, you know, whatever.
For,
you know what
for
saying?
Sure, for sure. I'll hit you up for some photos or something. I don't, you know, I'm just kind of, like, putting a bunch of garbage together for each thing and, like, give it to them
yeah.
and be like, all right, here you go. You know what I mean?
No, so glad you hit me up personally versus the PR guy. PR guy, he's okay, but whatever.
Oh, man.
Way cooler.
I can't really hit anybody up through anybody else because they won't really say anything right. So, you know what I mean? No offense to anyone, but you know what I mean.
No,
it's just like,
I totally know what you mean.
You know, I don't know. I still have, you know, I guess there's some kind of control freak element to it all where it's like, well, I don't really want to be misrepresented, like, ever at this point.
Well, for sure.
You know?
No, I feel
it's
you.
Hard. It's hard to kind of give that up, especially when you, you know, come from doing your own shows, your own everything, younger. You think at some point you'd be like, yeah, fuck it, man, just take the wheel. But I don't know.
The PR game is about pizzas and recipes, you know, and weeklies. It's, you know, it's totally lame.
It's a license
actually,
to steal, man. That's what it is. It's a fucking.
It is. Totally, you understand that, man. Like, you end up doing a lot of work for PR. You're not getting paid for it, but you're helping these people sell their magazines and their fucking shit. And you're like, man, fuck you guys. Like, what are you doing for me, really?
Totally, because in 6 months, I'm dirt. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Totally.
It's like 6 weeks, you know?
Six
like,
weeks, yeah.
Holy shit. All right, man. Well, I'll call you later, and maybe I'll see you around. We're gonna start moving around the country. I think we'll be in Detroit at like in a, I don't know, like 6 weeks or something like that.
Oh, so, right on. I might be around, but yeah, man. Get at me.
All right, cool. Well, thanks.
All right, man. No problem, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.